This is an interview for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is with Mrs. Diana Reynolds of Penrith, and the date is the 27th of November 1991.
My name is Diana Reynolds. I live at 131 Jamison Road, Penrith. My date of birth is the 24th of January 1929. My place of birth, Penrith. My marital status, I am a widow. Nationality, Australian. Number of children, one.
So just a few background questions to start with. What kind of work did your father do?
He was a doctor.
He was a doctor
in Penrith, right. Yes.
And your mother?
Her mother didn't work, no.
Right. And did you have brothers and sisters?
Had one sister. She's right. 4 years older.
Right. And you were born in Penrith?
In Penrith,
you?
Yes. Down the house, in a house, not in a hospital. And the house still stands. It's on the corner of High and Evans Street, Penrith.
And what was the? Do you remember your first memories of what the area was like as a child?
It seemed very just a town. The highway, the Western Highway, straight through Penrith. Old dirt roads. Oldish houses.
What about the land around your house?
Oh, we had the land. Well, we were in the centre of the town, mm-hmm. So we didn't really have much bush or open spaces immediate to Penrith, but outlying areas, yes, they were farms and bush areas, mainly Cambridge Park. That was quite a bush area for the gypsies, and north, south, east. They were quite bushy areas.
So you had neighbours both sides?
No, we had a street one side and a neighbour on the other side, because we lived on a corner.
And did you have a garden around your house?
Oh, yes, we were interested in gardening. And of course, it was your pride, I think, to keep a garden more so then, perhaps, than it is now. You kept your surrounds very, very groomed.
And did you have vegetable gardens?
No, we didn't have vegetable garden. It was mainly flowers, shrubs, trees.
And what sort of house did you live in?
It was a double brick home, and it was a very happy home. And the surgery was attached to the house, which nowadays, of course, you don't have surgeries attached to the home. The whole family seemed to be part of the practice, and so we grew up in that environment, really, sort of communicating with people, mainly patients and all their ails. And
your father was one of the only doctors in
Penrith
at that time?
Yes, he was the only one. Dr. Higgins was the other doctor in Penrith. Dr. Baxter was at Springwood and Dr. Day was at St. Mary's. And in the very early stages, they were the only four. But as after the war, 45 or well, more doctors started coming to the area.
So your father was Dr. Barrow, is that
Dr.
right?
Dr. Barrow,
So he must have been fairly busy.
Oh yes, very, very busy. And then during the war he was army, over at the army camp at the Speedway. He was all army doctor as well. And so his day was very, very long, really. And then later on he became government medical officer of the whole area. So he was very involved with Penrith.
And
so
did you go to school at the local primary school?
No, we went to school. It was called Miss Lennox School. And she first started up in St. Stephen's Hall, up at St. Stephen's Church there. And then they went down and they had a two-storey home down the BP garage right away down the bottom end of Penrith, and we would walk to school, and there were only, about 20 children at the school, and There were two Miss Lennoxes that taught, and one, the other sister, she more or less looked after the house and did their cooking. But then in sixth class, I went to Skeggs in Sydney. We were sent as day pupils to Skeggs. We travelled to Sydney every day, to Darlinghurst.
By train, of course.
By train, by steam train.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes, it was good, the soot in the eyes and the dirty dirty white blouses. But, you met a lot of good people on the train who sort of looked after you as children, because not many children really travelled to school from this area. They may go to Parramatta, but they didn't go right into Sydney. But my parents chose Skeggs, and so were some other children from Emu Plains. They also went to the same school. So
you travelled together?
Well, we did. We, you know, and then you'd have a dust up with them, and you wouldn't travel with them. But we, there was only one first class carriage on the chips we used to travel down on. The fish went through first. It never stopped at Penrith going to Sydney, and so we stopped. We used to get on the chips, and I had a reserved seat on that later on, because I went. My occupation was sports mistress, and then I taught in one of the Sydney schools, so I had a reserved seat then, because the number of people were getting greater and greater on the trains, and so was able to do that.
And what did you do as a child for recreation?
Right, parents were busy with the practice, so we hardly ever really went out on picnics, anything like that. It seemed to be a no-no. I had good friends in the walkers at Emu Plains, so I'd ride a bike over there and play tennis, or they'd come over for the weekend, or I'd go over there for the weekends. They used to take me to Avoca for school holidays. But other than that, it was tennis. We played up at the church courts, and you went to church, Sunday school, church, so you were involved in that. And then as the you just occupied yourself at home, really. We had the picture theatre, one picture theatre in Penrith, and then we got two picture theatres. So you had that as an entertainment. But no, you found your own entertainment, really.
So when you went to
teachers'
college when you left school?
No, I went to the ACPE, Australian College of Physical Education, and so that was a two-year course.
Where was that?
That was based in Hunter Street in Sydney, and then we had gym work up at the YMCA, actually it was, up in Oxford Street. We seemed to spread around a little bit, and then hockey fields and cricket fields and that sort of thing. We went to Rushcutters Bay, and so we had quite a variety of things for our sports. And then I taught out at Methodist Ladies College at Burwood, and of course taught there for 6 years then. So and then after that my sister married, so I came home to be secretary to my father. And in those days you seemed to support your family and live at home. There was not living away from home, sort of those things weren't thought of. And so came home and just worked at home. I did teach swimming in the river because Penrith didn't have a swimming pool. Used to ride the bike down there and teach swimming in the river. And then I taught in winter. I taught tennis up on the courts at St. Stephen's. So had that as well.
Nice healthy lifestyle.
Oh yes, yes, good and healthy. But was in a tennis club, a tennis group that we played every Saturday, so that took you to various other tennis courts, you know, Ludden and Castlereagh, all around, you see. You went and visited those and then they'd visit you. But those tennis courts were behind the, it was Fletcher's store. And now it was Red S, and now they're putting a three-storey car park behind there, so
yes,
those tennis courts were there.
Going to ask you next about the shops and what they were like when you were a child.
Yes. Yes, well, they were quaint shops, some of them, you know. One of the shops down where we were, down near the school, right down the bottom end of Penrith, she had a lolly shop, so that was interesting to go into this old little lolly shop and buy things. And but the garages, they had the pumps right on the street, you know, you'd have the pumps, and this was mainly in High Street. And a couple of hotels, about three hotels down in High Street. And Fletcher's was the general shop for clothing and wool and menswear. Then they went into China, and of course from there they spread out, and they did buy more and spread themselves and went upstairs. You know, it was fun to go into the shop and you had to go upstairs in Fletcher's, and then they changed to Farmers, and of course down to Grace Brothers, and moved into the big area of the plaza.
And did your mother do her shopping locally?
Oh yes, you did your shopping where we were, up the top end of Penrith. We did it at Neil's, and they had it all. They had groceries, it was like hardware, farm, barrows, all that type of thing, and then the menswear and the ladieswear, and then they moved into furniture meals. And of course you'd send your order over, and when the order came back you'd always get a little bag of boiled lollies in your order. So of course as children we thought that was wonderful. And you used to front up to the counter and, you know, give your whatever, and then they'd bring it to you. It was sort of, you just didn't have you go and shop for yourself like it is in the supermarket today. But no, you got your orders that way, and they'd count out the biscuits and
yeah.
and scoop out the sugar and the flour. So that was good. And of course the milkman was the same. He'd come around with his taps on the back, and you'd leave your billy out and your milk would be left. And the bread, of course, the nice fresh smell of bread, he'd come around with his cart. And I can remember as a kid, you know, you'd have the fellow calling out, "Props, props," these were props for the clotheslines. And we used to have one quaint old chap. He came in with beautiful vegetables, and he had a sulky horse and sulky, and Biddy was the horse. And so Mr. Baxter was quite a current caller to the place. But with the practice, a lot of people worked a bit on a barter system. Dad used to treat the barber, and he used to cut his hair for nothing. And one Christmas we had seven chooks. They were on foot and not on foot. They were presents from patients. And then, of course, if you went to someone with an orchard, well, a few days later you'd wake up in a box of oranges, grapefruit, all the lemons, peaches, nectarines, all these things used to come in. Well, when my father and mother made up the accounts, well, you can't charge them. They've already given us a box of fruit. So this is how it was. But it was only 5 shillings for a consultation, and 7 and 6 to go and visit someone. So things, you know, and you'd go right out to Warragamba Dam perhaps for 10 shillings.
So doctors didn't really get rich in those days.
You didn't get rich in those days, no. So as one person stood beside my father in the bank, you know how you usually stand back, you don't sort of stand up as if you're looking in. He said, "Oh, I'm not going to pay his bill. He's got enough in his account." Yeah, so, but no, it was, that was one way of paying you back, you see. And so that was interesting. And Mum always welcomed the new babies with a blue bow or a pink bow around their wrists, you know. And we always, they always liked the new babies coming into the practice, you know. They were just a feature of the practice. But then later on, of course, you've got the foreign people who came out, the new Australians, And we found those a little bit unusual to start off with. My sister was home at this stage, and one woman came down the surgery hall, and she said, quick, quick, the newspaper. So my sister gave it to her, so she just spread it out on the dining room floor and squatted down and had a miscarriage.
Oh,
so, of course, my father came in later. He said, where's that paper? I haven't read the paper. And he said, I haven't read it yet. But on the doormat, we had another one on the doormat, and things like that. They were just a little bit unusual to from our ways,
yes,
you know. We just
Did your father mostly deliver babies in the hospital or
at
home?
Yes, no, a lot in the home.
Mm-hmm.
He had one case where the lady came in and the neighbour came in to help, and she fainted. So with one foot, he kicked her under the bed. That was that one. But no, there was a private hospital diagonally opposite where they lived down in High Street, and she was for maternity. And of course she'd just whistle, you know, quick over the road, so that one was quite easy. And then they got the maternity up at the hospital, which was the Nepean Hospital, which is now the Governor Phillip. And that was, you know, quite a thing for Penrith when that came. Everything like it is now when it's new, you know, the university, oh, isn't this good, the university. Each new thing seemed to be progress, I suppose,
yes,
all the time. But
so in the late 40s, I suppose you were married about that time, were you?
No, I wasn't married. I married only about 28 years ago, really. And my husband was in the Air Force. It was his second marriage. His wife had passed away. And I came here when the girls, the twins, were 14. Mm. So, no, I didn't marry till about 35.
1935.
No, when I was 35,
when you were 35,
yes.
So you moved to live in this house when you were married.
Yes.
So that would have been in the early 60s.
Yes, about 1964.
And did you build this house? Or
no, my husband bought it when he moved up from Albury.
Right.
And he came up here with his wife and family, and then she about 18 months she passed away, and with cancer, and of course he was left with the twins. And then I met him later on, and of course we got married, and we had one son. Yes.
So the twins were a fair bit older than your son.
Oh yes, yes, they were. They'd have been 16 when he was born. They're married now and live elsewhere.
So your husband actually built this house when he came up, did he? Or
it was already built.
Already built.
Yes, yes. And Mr. McKern built this house. He worked for the, the gravel company, I think, on McCann's Island.
Oh, yes.
Down there he worked for them. And they were very good Methodists. Don't see them, of course. I don't know where they moved to, but we extended here when my mother wasn't able to look after herself. We put an extension on the back of the house, so that has sort of improved the value of this house now, I suppose.
And this is a brick house, isn't
no,
it?
No, this is a fibro
is
home.
Is it? Oh,
yes.
Hard to tell when you're inside.
That's right. Yes.
Mm. So this is fibro.
It is fibro.
And it's
yes.
What, how many bedrooms?
Well, with the extension on. You could have 5 bedrooms because we extended out there, and that's like a little telly room out there. So it could have 5 bedrooms. Mm. So it's with maintenance, it's quite good. It stands up. But my husband was a very good. He loved looking at House and Gardens and Home Beautifuls, and I think I can put that into the house, and up something would go, or a wall or a window would come down, and he was very good in that regard. Mm. But he was with the Air Force out at Clonbrinjelly Road, and he was in bomb disposals. Mm.
Exciting work.
Well, you know, when you look back, you sort of think, oh dear. He was sent to the island of Nauru, and where he had to defuse Japanese bombs. That was quite late after the war, and he got the MBE for that, so that was quite a nice proud pat on the back for him. We were very happy
nice
about
to
that.
Get recognition, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, well, it was lovely, really lovely. But he died nearly 8 years ago now with cancer. Mm-hmm. So one of those things. Put your soldier on. My son was 18 then. He'd just finished his HSC. So then, of course, it was, righto, what do you do? And so he went into languages to Sydney University. And then after a year and a term, he thought he'd like to give that up, which he did, and went in for nursing. Yes, so he's through nursing, he's 3 years through, and he's now doing his maternity at Nepean Hospital. He got in there, and waiting for his new arrival Thursday week.
Oh, really?
Yes, so... We'll
his first?
His first, yes, yes, that's their first. So that'll be lovely. So I said to the school, well, you know, you mightn't see me for a few days. Yes, but no, two places I've lived, it's all been very, very pleasant and happy. We get on well with the neighbours. I've got a very good neighbour relationship here. This neighbour just walked off the veranda when you came, brought me beautiful peaches in from one of their friends who has an orchard out here. They'll bring in grapes and they grow their own vegetables in their back garden. Emily's Yugoslav and Vito's Italian. And I think they could live off their bit of land in there for ages. They just recycle things, and she'll take a mug of hot water down the back and put in mint leaves. Well, that's mint tea, she'll say. And she's just very, very good. She's a wonderful neighbour.
Well, that's good.
Yes, yes. But you learn such a lot from them, really. You sort of think, oh dear, if you had the time to have a vegetable patch and this sort of thing, but they just, that will be my Christmas present. They'll bring me in tomatoes and grapes and sort of carrots, onions, whatever they've grown.
And have they lived there very long?
They've been there before George came here, yes. So they've been there a long while.
Since just after the war.
Yes, yes. Mm. So Vito was in the interned. As George used to say to him, oh, you foreigner. You know? He said you were against us, weren't you? But
he was interned here, was he?
No, he was overseas, I think. Yes, yes, he was overseas then, Vito. Mm. But, they're just tops. You know, they're wonderful. Mm.
And did you have much to do with other Europeans who came out here after the war? Did you notice them coming into the area?
Yeah, yes, I think really I notice it more now with the new influx of Indian people, Vietnamese. There seemed to be far more than ever that came in those early days after the war. I don't think we were big enough, probably in other areas. It suited them, perhaps. But they've just swarmed out this way, whether it's, the living conditions or what, I don't know. But they seem to be, I know with the school, I've noticed, oh, we've got a terrific lot of Indian children.
Okay.
Mm. And we've got a little Vietnamese girl the other day. And, she can't speak very much English at all. And she said, you're welcome, you're welcome. And that's what we get. She'll learn, because they do learn very quickly.
Yes.
But her older sisters and mother have to go to some other area to really learn how to speak English first. But there are 9 of them living in that house, in their sister's home. She's been out here 10 years. But I think we were fascinated with them in the early stages.
Yes.
But as I say, there didn't seem to be that many out this way. Yes.
And what about finances? When you lived at home, who managed the household finances?
Oh, no, well, my father would, he'd give mother the money.
Right.
And she had to sort of live on that, but he'd pay all the bills.
Right.
Housekeeping money, and she'd pay all the bills.
Right.
He'd pay all the bills, mainly by cheque, because there was no, you had a form of receipt then, and so used to work on it in that way. But he was always very pleased. He'd always pay his bills. He hated owing anybody anything, so they were paid promptly. There was none of this
no
time payment or nothing like that at all. No, no. was
and
just
what about
unheard of.
When you were married, did you handle the accounts?
Well, I mainly handled a lot of the accounts because George would go away on these inspections overseas, disposals inspections and so forth. So he said, well, you'll just have to handle all that because if I'm not here, he'd go for perhaps a month, 6 weeks at a time sometimes. Mm-hmm. They were only rare ones, but, you know, things would come in. So, but after Rod went to start at school at five, I started work in the schools. Went for the position down at St Stephen's Church, but they wanted shorthand and I didn't have it. And there was a principal, Mr Hepworth, down at Penrith South School. He was interviewing also, and he said, oh, have you tried the school jobs? And I said, no. So he said, oh, well, I'll ring you up about 10 in the morning. So he rang, he said, if you can get to Parramatta and do a typing test, you might be in somewhere. So I was just told there and then, would you like to go to Nepean High School?
Oh,
so I started there on the Monday. Very different from now.
Yes.
And so I started there and was over there for from the July to the following November 12 months. And Mr. Dillon, the principal, he said, called me and he said, oh, we can no longer have you because our numbers have decreased and we can't carry an extra ancillary staff. And I said, oh, well, I've enjoyed it. And he said, don't worry, we've got a job for you at Kingsford. So these positions are like gold, really.
Yes.
But people, I don't think, realise just how busy they are.
Mm.
They're very busy. And so I've been at Kingsford ever since. So, which has been most interesting.
And you've seen a lot of change in the school.
In the school system, yes, it's changed greatly. Yes, I don't know if it's for the better. I suppose it is to the academics, but the little things, you know, just seem to be bypassed. You know, the manners.
Yes, that's
you know, manners. Oh, that's one thing with these overseas children. They are well mannered. They're very well mannered. But you get all the dirty words and all this sort of thing. I don't get it much around the office, but you'll get the kids who say nothing else, you know, words like this at home.
Mm.
So they just come and impart it to the good children at school. And
it's a shame,
it is a shame. But of course you get the band of nice children too.
And so when you were growing up, when you were older,
yes.
Say when you were working, what did you do for recreation then? Was that,
the tennis gave way to having a child and putting what I could into him, taking him very regularly for swimming and this sort of thing early in the mornings and getting him into that. My husband was involved in scouting, so Rod automatically went into the scouts. So it's like that. I got their uniforms ready and their tea and they'd go off. So I didn't have any actual entertainment that way. It was in the church choir, but I found running the home and going to work was quite sufficient.
Yes.
I just didn't have time for running into this pub and that pub and that sort of thing. And we didn't really have the money for that. We still had to pay the house off, and I hate owing things. I suppose that's a hand-me-down from the family. But so when I started work, I matched George on what he was paying off for the house. So we got it paid off so much quicker then. And, of course, we only had a Volkswagen, and that fitted five of us in. So that was a bit of a squeeze. So I said, no, we don't buy a car until we've got the money to actually pay for it. I said, we just put up or walk. We'll walk somewhere, we just don't go anywhere. So we got right through that and was able to pay for a car. So this is how you can, you know, strive and you do succeed.
Yes, I think it's different to these days, isn't it, with the instant...
Yes.
Plastic money and
that's right, and I think the television and media just ruin the place, really, because they pressure people into doing a lot of things. You've got to be very strong against the media.
That's right.
Mm.